Go.
Bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Wow.
Go. Bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Hey, that spelled bananas.
It did.
Neat.
You like that?
Yeah. Do you know how to spell Canada? It goes like this.
What?
C-A-N-A-D-A.
Yeah, that's right.
Big shout out to all of our fans up in Canada.
Yeah.
The Great White North.
We have a few of them.
I'm sure.
Yeah, we do.
Of course, someday we will.
Absolutely. Hey, welcome to Chip and Eric. Read through the Bible today.
That's what we do.
We're going to read it super fast today, folks. Have we ever done a fast version?
I don't know. I have a feeling there are people who listen to us on 1.5 speed, though.
That's
without
probably
a doubt. Hey, big shout out to everyone listening to us on 1.5 speed right now.
Yeah.
It's really great to have you here today. Thank you for listening to us.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
Hey, I want to give a quick review to whoever gave us these sour watermelon peeps.
Yes, someone gave us some sour watermelon peeps. Says, tried them, didn't love them, sad face. Waiting for the Chip and Eric review, happy face.
Here's the thing. Someone printed this because they knew we would recognize their writing if they wrote it.
Well, that's probably very observant, Eric.
So that card is printed.
It is. They printed it on a printer.
Yep.
Hey, so these are sour watermelon peeps.
They're fine.
There's 10 chicks in here.
10 chicks.
And so, Eric, you and I tried them. We did try them before the show. There was one peep missing.
Yeah. Tried them, didn't love them. That's what they said.
Yeah, they did. So I do like sour watermelon peeps. Not my favorite. I'd give it a 7. But they were just too darn hard for me. I don't like dried up peeps. I like soft, gushy, yummy, gooey marshmallow peeps.
Okay, I like stale peeps, so that part I enjoyed.
Good.
I like the sour, that part I enjoyed.
Yes.
The watermelon was lacking.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I give them a 2 out of 10. They fail completely.
Yeah, it was a strong sour.
Yeah.
It does say sour first, and it doesn't say watermelon sour.
No.
It says sour watermelon.
That's right.
It's, yeah.
It's fine.
It's
fine. I didn't pucker. You know, I need a real pucker when I get something sour.
Get that pucker.
I need a pucker.
Speaking of pucker, Eric, today is day 107, and we're going to read 1 Samuel 22, 23, 24, and jump ahead to Mark chapter 9, 1 through 29.
David at the cave of Adullam. So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt or who were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men. Later, David went to Mizpah in Moab, where he asked the king, "Please allow my father and mother to live here until I know what God is doing for me." So David's parents stayed in Moab with the king during the entire time David was living in his stronghold. One day, the prophet Gad told David, "Leave the stronghold and return to the land of Judah." So David went to the forest of Hereth. The news of his arrival in Judah soon reached Saul. At that time, the king was sitting beneath the tamarisk tree on the hill at Gibeah, holding his spear, surrounded by his officers. "Listen here, you men of Benjamin," Saul shouted to his officers when he heard the news. "Has that son of Jesse promised every one of you fields and vineyards? Has he promised to make you all generals and captains in his army? Is that why you have conspired against me? For not one of you told me when my own son made a solemn pact with the son of Jesse. You're not even sorry for me. Think of it, my own son encouraging him to kill me, as he is trying to do to this very day." Then Doeg the Edomite, who was standing there with Saul's men, spoke up. "When I was at Nob," he said, "I saw the son of Jesse talking to the priest Ahimelech, son of Ahitub. Ahimelech consulted the Lord for him. Then he gave him food and the sword of Goliath the Philistine."
The slaughter of the priest. King Saul immediately sent for Ahimelech and all his family who served as priest at Nob. When they arrived, Saul shouted at him, "Listen to me, you son of Ahitub." "What is it, my king?" Ahimelech asked. "Why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me?" Saul demanded. "Why did you give him food and a sword? Why have you consulted God for him? Why have you encouraged him to kill me as he's trying to do this very day?" "But sir," Ahimelech replied, "is anyone among you all servants as faithful as David, your son-in-law? Why? He is captain of your bodyguard and highly honored member of your household. This was certainly not the first time I consulted God for him. May the king not accuse me and my family in this matter, for I knew nothing at all of any plot against you." "You will surely die, Ahimelech, along with your entire family," the king shouted, and he ordered his bodyguards, "Kill the priests of the Lord, for they are allies and conspirators with David. They knew he was running away from me, but they didn't tell me. But Saul's men refused to kill the Lord's priest. Then the king said to Doeg, you do it. So Doeg the Edomite turned on them and killed them that day, 85 priests in all, still wearing their priestly garments. Then he went to Nob, the town of the priest, and killed the priest's families, men and women, children, babies, and all the cattle, donkeys, sheep, and goats. Only Abiathar, one of the sons of Ahimelech, escaped and fled to David. When he told David what Saul had killed the priest of the Lord, David exclaimed, I knew it. When I saw Doeg the Edomite there that day, I knew he was sure to tell Saul. Now I have caused the death of your father's family. Stay here with me and don't be afraid. I will protect you with my own life. The same person wants to kill us both.
David protects the town of Keilah. 1 Samuel chapter 23. One day, news came to David that the Philistines were at Keilah stealing grain from the threshing floors. David asked the Lord, should I go and attack them? Yes, go and save Keilah, the Lord told him. But David's men said, we're afraid even here in Judah. We certainly don't want to go to Keilah and fight the whole Philistine army. So David asked the Lord again, and again the Lord replied, go down to Keilah, for I will help you conquer the Philistines. So David and his men went to Keilah. They slaughtered the Philistines and took all their livestock and rescued the people of Keilah. Now when Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, he brought the ephod with him. Saul soon learned that David was at Keilah. Good, he exclaimed, we've got him now. God has handed him over to me, for he has trapped himself in a walled town. So Saul mobilized his entire army to march to Keilah and besiege David and his men. But David learned of Saul's plan and told Abiathar the priest to bring the ephod and ask the Lord what he should do. Then David prayed, O Lord, God of Israel, I have heard that Saul is planning to come and destroy Keilah because I am here. Will the leaders of Keilah betray me to him? And will Saul actually come as I have heard? O Lord, God of Israel, please tell me. And the Lord said, he will come. Again, David asked, will the leaders of Keilah betray me and my men to Saul? And the Lord replied, yes, they will betray you.
David hides in the wilderness. So David and his men, about 600 of them now, left Keilah and began roaming the countryside. Word soon reached Saul that David had escaped, so he didn't go to Keilah after all. David now stayed in the strongholds of the wilderness and in the hill country of Ziph. Saul hunted him day after day, but God didn't let Saul find him. One day near Horesh, David received the news that Saul was on the way to Ziph to search for him and kill him. Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. Don't be afraid, Jonathan reassured him. My father will never find you. You're going to be the king of Israel, and I will be next to you, as my father Saul is well aware. So the two of them renewed their solemn pact before the Lord. Then Jonathan returned home while David stayed at Horesh. But now the men of Ziph went to Saul in Gibeah and betrayed David to him. We know where David's hiding, they said. He is in the strongholds of Horesh on the hill of Hakilah, which is the southern part of Jeshimon. Come here whenever you're ready, O king, and we will catch him and hand him over to you. The Lord bless you, Saul said. At last, someone is concerned about me. Go and check again to be sure of where he is staying and who has seen him there, for I know that he is very crafty. Discover his hiding places and come back when you are sure. Then I'll go with you, and if he is in the area at all, I'll track him down, even if I have to search every hiding place in Judah. So the men of Ziph returned home ahead of Saul. Meanwhile, David and his men had moved into the wilderness of Maon in the Arabah Valley south of Jeshimon. When David heard that Saul and his men were searching for him, he went even farther into the wilderness to the great rock, and he remained there in the wilderness of Maon. But Saul kept after him in the wilderness. Saul and David were now on the opposite sides of the mountain, just as Saul and his men began to close in on David and his men. An urgent message reached Saul that the Philistines were raiding Israel again. So Saul quit chasing David and returned to fight the Philistines. Ever since that time, the place where David was camped had been called the Rock of Escape. David then went to live in the strongholds of En-Gedi.
1 Samuel chapter 24, David spares Saul's life. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding farther back in that very cave. Now's your opportunity, David's men whispered to him. Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish. So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave and had gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, "My Lord, the king!" And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, "Why do you listen to the people who say I'm trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true, for the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. For I said, I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It is a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves I'm not trying to harm you and that I have not sinned against you, even though you have been hunting for me to kill me. May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I will never harm you. As that old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds. So you can be sure I will never harm you. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one who is as worthless as a dead dog or a single flea? May the Lord therefore judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate and he will rescue me from your power. When David had finished speaking, Saul called back, "Is that really you, my son David?" Then he began to cry. And he said to David, "You are a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil. Yes, you have been amazingly kind to me today. For when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let his enemy get away when he had him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have shown to me today. And now I realize that you are surely going to be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will flourish under your rule. Now swear to me by the Lord that when that happens, you will not kill my family and destroy my line of descendants." So David promised this to Saul with an oath. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went back to their stronghold.
All right, we're going to move ahead to Mark chapter 9. We're going to read 1 through 29. Jesus went on to say, "I tell you the truth. Some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God arrive in great power." The Transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make these three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't really know what else to say, for they were all terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. As they went back down the mountain, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept it to themselves, but they often asked each other what he meant by rising from the dead. Then he asked them, "Why did the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes?" Jesus responded, "Elijah is indeed coming first to get everything ready. Yet, why do the scriptures say that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be treated with utter contempt? But I tell you, Elijah has already come. And they chose to abuse him, just as the scriptures predicted."
Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said. "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" Jesus replied, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer."
And that is our reading today.
Okay, we read it with two questions in mind. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? So, Chip, how does this help you love God more?
Well, it's interesting because that last verse, Jesus replied, "This kind can only be cast out only by prayer." Mm-hmm. And so prayer is really what I was kind of focusing on going back to the Samuel reading. Mm. And it's very simple. I know it's a simple little observation, but I like it. And sometimes all the time, I need simple. And I just highlighted a few times here, David asked, and then the Lord replied. Mm-hmm. And it's through that prayer relationship, the relationship access through prayer. And so great things can happen when God's people pray.
Yep.
You know, we see it modeled here with David asking the Lord replying, giving guidance and direction on what to do next. And we see it in the New Testament, you know, and miracles can happen and through the power of prayer, asking God to do the unthinkable and the impossible. Mm-hmm. And so I love that about God. I really do. It's something that I try to practice. You know, someone was just asking me yesterday, like, how do you handle like the burdens of all the people, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, as a pastor, and you're now experiencing that, you know, and you feel the weight of that. And really my answer was prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, I go to God all the time about all these things. I just can't handle them.
Correct.
And I try to go right away, and I have set times that I do that. And it's so good to cast, but also to listen, you know, what do I do about this, Lord? You know, and I think that's a good question to ask yourself. And when you're talking and counseling others, what does God have to say about this? So ask the Lord. Mm-hmm. He'll tell you through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, which is revealed to us. And He'll use other people too that agrees with the Scriptures and the Spirit. So yeah. I love that about God.
I love that about God too. Yeah. That's a good one. Okay. So how does this help me love others more? Mm-hmm. I mean, very famously, not very famously, but somewhat famously, if you've been listening to our podcast for a while, every year I struggle with whether or not David should have killed Saul.
Yeah.
Every year I struggle with
it. You do.
And I think when I'm looking at it through the lens of how this helps me love others more, I see that David, whether he's right or wrong in allowing Saul to live, I see that he is exhibiting great love. Great love is sacrificial. It's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It has the opportunity to really come back and bite you and hurt you. And so I can love others by exhibiting the same dangerous and sacrificial love that David exhibited. Micah, my son, really loves the song Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. Yeah. And he was asking me like what it means. And I said, well, love it can be a very dangerous thing. Like you can get burned. I said, if you love somebody, they have the opportunity to hurt you. And I think that's the kind of love that David is showing here. Not the ring of fire love, but like that dangerous sort of, because he could have come out with the hem of his robe. Be like, why do you think I'm trying to hurt you? Like, look, can't you see that I love you? I'm not trying to hurt you. And Saul could have killed him. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big risk there, a lot of vulnerability. So I think I can love people better by emulating that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think vulnerability is the key word there.
Yep. Yeah. It's got to be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to give people a chance to hurt you.
Love dangerously.
There you go.
That's the new release coming out next year.
Yeah, that's our freestyle rap album.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be really good.
It's going to be good.
Hey, all right. Here's a good one.
What?
Right before I walked in this room, got to talk to the one.
Yeah.
The only.
Okay.
Sonya Gearing.
Oh, yeah.
She said she and Jim listen to us every night before bed.
Oh.
So this is your chance, Chip.
Yes.
I'm just going to say goodnight.
Goodnight.
And we love you guys.
Yes.
And we hope that you get a very restful night's sleep. Please. Chip is going to sing you a lullaby.
Yes, I am. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep, Jim and Sonya. Go to sleep. Please don't peep. Because sour watermelon is just okay. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep, my dear friends. Go to sleep, go to sleep, until we read to you again.
Wow.
Father of five.